Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the original vampire himself, Rich Stambolian.
Blah, what's up? That would be my catchphrase as a vampire.
Oh, that's a good catchphrase.
Blah, what's up?
I'm into that.
What's going on, dude?
What's going on, man? Second show of the week.
Oh, I love it. Two shows in a week. I think we should do this more often. I think we should do three shows in the week and replace We're Live Pal with We're Live Pals.
Wow. You know what? Do you want to upset Garrett and we just do a show called We're Live Pals?
Absolutely. Okay. I live for upsetting Garrett.
All right. Let's do it. All right. That's what we're going to do. Next week on the show, Jonathan is here. Jonathan, make the graphics where it says We're Live Pals with Andrew and Rich.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's going to replace the show.
Together.
You know what? If you could get that going now, maybe no. Some MG will melt. He can't do shit on the fly like that.
He's not good with the improv. Yeah.
We got a comment. Morning, y'all. Much love from East Harlem. Look at this. Our New York babies are here. There you go. Thank you, little reggae. This is a morning zoo.
Beautiful.
At this point, guys. We have so much to talk about. Obviously, you know. It was an interesting week because we went from chaos to like a very normal week of wrestling.
Do you think the wrestling ship righted itself in that regard?
I don't know. We're going to talk about life after Punk because I think that's going to be the big topic here. You know, we're winding down the CM Punk conversations and I'm glad for it. I'm happy that we're going to talk more about the content and what's happening and, you know, just the wrestling product itself rather than talking about backstage brawls. But what do you think? I mean, we've had a week to sit on this. You know, All In happened. All Out happened. I thought Dynamite I like Dynamite. I thought it was a good Dynamite. I love that segment with Swerve and Hangman. I thought that was
very
well done. I have some information on that as to why it was done in the way it was
very
done.
Very cool.
But what do you think, Rich? You know, it was a really tumultuous 2 weeks.
I'm going to be very cliche as far as the CM Punk thing and just say never say never. Like, that's wrestling's catchphrase, right?
Never say never.
If you can give pro wrestling one catchphrase, it would be never say never. And I think the other catchphrase would be you can love the business, but the business won't love you back, right?
Well, I don't know. Which part is it? Does he love the business or does the business love him more? You know, Punk's entire 2 years has been so fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is a guy that left wrestling 7 years ago or 8 years ago or 9 years, whatever it is now, in a really bad way. And he was applauded for taking a stand. And if you really, you know, you look at the details, I mean, in reality, he was upset that he didn't get to main event WrestleMania and his match with Hunter, he was upset that it was a lower end match. I don't think it gets bigger. I mean, listen, man, I know headlining WrestleMania as a world champion is what everybody dreams about. But I mean, having the semi against Hunter is not a bad, it's not a bad position to be in.
Well, also, he is definitely one of my top five Undertaker WrestleMania matches too. You know, like,
yeah,
that's a feather in your hat, dude, you know?
And he was bitching about that too, right? He was not thrilled with that.
It's very interesting. Cause like, you know, it's very easy to poo poo everything this guy's done after the fact, because everybody looks at these videos, everybody looks at these clips, especially the clips have been going around from AEW where, you know, for example, yesterday I was scrolling and a lot of people were posting the clip of Eddie Kingston cutting the promo on him in the ring, right? Going,
yeah,
nobody likes you, nobody wants you here, blah, 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 right? And then all those other promos too, like Moxie cutting the promo, Jericho, whoever, right? It's very interesting how people are kind of like feeding off of that and then saying like, F you, F you, F you, F you. Is the guy done with wrestling? I don't know. Did the guy fit into this company? Apparently not, right? Because I think everybody had a different mindset and he came in, and I'm not saying he tried to make waves. We don't know for sure. You know, we don't know the real backstage politics, but from everything we've seen and heard and all the hearsay, it's not a good look for this guy, you know? But then off camera, you see him at the Cauliflower Alley Club, seems like a total sweetheart. Every interview he's done, he seems like a total sweetheart, total mensch, right?
Yeah. I just think he just enrages. They get upset. Do you think that, did you expect this to happen the way it did?
I didn't expect it to happen the way it did. And as a fan, not as a wrestling podcaster, I'm a little sad by it. Not sad that it's like detrimental to my life and well-being, but I'm bummed out because like he had 2 years. What a great return. What a great like first match. Great that he's finishing the stuff with Joe. Awesome stuff. And then plagued by injuries, plagued by the scuffle at the media scrum. And then this shit that happened a couple of weeks ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a weird situation and it seems very explosive. Meanwhile, you don't really hear any of this drama from anybody else in that company unless people are very tight-lipped, you know?
Well, you know, here's what I like my whole assessment of the whole Punk thing, right? When he first left the first time after the brawl out. My whole point was, listen, if you are Tony, right?
Yeah.
The right thing to do is try to make this work. As a manager, as a leader, as the boss, you want to show that you are diplomatic and the business comes first over personal problems and you will attempt to make this work. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Kudos to Tony, because that's exactly what he did. He saw the importance of letting this settle and making it work. You can't blame Tony for what happened now. He tried everything to make this work. Because A, he's a fan. Two, he knows the importance of someone like CM Punk on his roster. Mm-hmm. He knows what it means to his media partners and to shirt sales and toy sales and WB.
Oh, forget it. Yeah.
You know, ad sales. He knows what that means. And he tried. And he gave it another chance. And they gave him another show. And he had a tremendous level of control there. And it still wasn't enough. It didn't, whatever issue he had was not alleviated by Tony's remedies.
Right, right.
And at that point, what can you do? What are you going to do at that point? You're going to turn around and say, okay, what else do you need? You're getting into fights here. You're yelling at this one. You're yelling at that one. It's not... Listen, I know he talks about Harley Race over and over again and how Harley, you know, gave him the nod and the okay and the veterans were fine with him, but he ate so much shit for so many years.
Exactly.
And those same people that were kissing his ass when he was in WWE, when he was in a prominent position, were the same people that would talk everything about him, were the ones calling, you know, the dirt sheets and talking about what Punk is like really backstage. I mean, it's a double-edged sword for him. Some that he created and other ones that the business created. And I think he just could never get over it. I don't think he could get over the fact that these people didn't like him.
Well, also, we mentioned this on the show last week. Like you just said, he ate a lot of shit to get where he got, right? Maybe, possibly, he didn't see that for the other guys on that roster. Because a lot of guys on that roster didn't eat a lot of shit. They did a couple of years on the indies and then all of a sudden they're on TV. You know, and, you know, I feel like that may do something to a person to be
course.
Like, yeah, like I was maybe a little bit of an ego thing. You know, I hear wrestlers have ego sometimes. Hey,
you know,
I was the internet darling, you know,
think about if it was you. Right. Like, and listen, I got a comment from somebody. They're like, I can't believe how soft you are on CM Punk and his problems. He's a dick. I'm like, I don't know the guy.
Exactly.
And this is like, listen, man. He didn't commit a heinous crime for me to be like, this guy's a piece of crap. He has a work-related issue. I don't know him. Is he difficult? Yeah, I'm sure he would say that he's not the easiest guy in the world. I think that's already known. But if that was you and you, your entire career, you were just... you were just attacked, right? You were told you don't have the look, you don't have the body, you don't have the athleticism. Even on his on the CM Punk DVD, right, that did tremendous sales, the conversation about him was that he was a terrible athlete.
Right,
and that Colt
Cabana
was such a better athlete than he was. Like, he couldn't even do basic stuff, but he could do certain moves.
Right.
Listen, you know, that's a narrative that lives with you. You will always think that about yourself. You'll have a little chip on your shoulder because it comes so easy to certain people. Well, he's had to work really hard and he has not had an easy life. Listen, this is what happens. He made a decision. He decided that he cannot work in that organization like a normal person. That's on him. And Tony attempted to do the best that he could. And now we're here. Now it's life after Punk. This 2-year experiment failed, but I'm glad that they did it. They got it. They tried at least.
They made a lot of people happy.
They made a lot of people happy. It brought a lot of people back to wrestling. I think people need to focus on what great stuff we saw on TV rather than what happened in the back.
It's always unfortunate.
Is it a little hypocritical that we're talking about it? Yeah, absolutely. But it's the most interesting thing that's happened. It's for a lot of people because this guy was a big part of people's wrestling lives. You know, you and I, we had Austin, we had Rock, we had the Attitude Era, we also had the 80s because we're in that in-between. But to a lot of people, this was the Macho Man Randy Savage and the Hogan for them.
Oh, absolutely. And this was like his promo in, what was it, 2011? The rant promo?
The pipe bomb?
The pipe bomb?
Yeah.
That was part of the impetus for us kind of starting this, too.
Yes. We rarely talk about that. That brought me back to wrestling. I was watching, obviously, but like I wasn't like watching.
In it. Yeah.
And we got lunch and we were going to do a gaming thing. You were going to do like a gaming podcast. And we started talking about wrestling for like 45 minutes. And we're like, okay, maybe this is it.
Yeah.
Because you were going to do a gaming thing. Then you started the comic book podcast and it turned into wrestling because it was so out of the norm. He brought up New Japan. He brought up Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. It created something. I mean, you can't take that away from the guy.
Right. So, you know, that being said, you flash forward to now. And it's, again, as a fan, it's just like, it's like off-putting because you want to really like the guy and give him the benefit of the doubt. And then you hear all these weird rumors and stuff. And I don't know how true they are, but there was like a rumor this week or something floating around the internet about how one of the reasons he blew a gasket was that AEW re-signed Kenny and the Bucks and Hangman.
I mean, what does he think they're going to do?
Right.
You're going to give away. I mean, I can't believe that to be true. Like, I find zero factuality behind. Factuality, that's a word. Right. That's
factuality.
A word. Yeah, factuality. Mm-hmm. You're upset that the top four guys that company was built on out of the five are re-signed? Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? Exactly. They're like, no, guys, I'm so sorry. We have CM Punk go to WWE and become the biggest stars ever there. You know, you're not going to do that. That's insane. So, I mean, we're gonna find out what happens here. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, life after Punk in that company, but we'll start here. Ace Steel was released from AEW. Yeah. I think that was evident when Punk left.
I thought that happened already. Like, I thought that happened after the Brawl In.
No,
whatever it was called.
He came back. He was working on that show.
He was secretly re-employed behind the scenes and not at the shows, I think is the story.
Okay.
AW Collision drew the lowest rating in the show's history against college football. They did 345,000 viewers on TNT. It was down 37%, 37.5% from the previous week.
Yeah.
They were going up against college football, week one of college football. This week, they're against their first marquee game, which is Texas and Alabama. Also, there's UFC as well this Saturday. So, I guess, you know, we knew that this was going to happen. Unfortunately, I think those numbers are lower than what everybody anticipated.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens going forward. Right.
Yeah.
This, we're getting into like the fall and winter months. There is a chance those ratings go up, right? Because more people might be home to catch the show.
It's the cold season. People are home. They're going to, you know, you're not going to be out as late. I don't know. 345, not a good number whatsoever. I don't think that was an anticipated number by anybody. I know what Warner expects. I know what AEW expects with these numbers, and we're nowhere near it right now.
Yeah.
345,000 primetime on a Saturday is not to be expected. I think if it was like another 100,000 plus, it would have been a little bit better. But that number needs to be like 700,000, 640,000 on the regular. Whatever NXT is doing, I think that that would be a healthy number for that show. And you can if you have something big. You know, maybe, you know, Danielson is going to be a prime focus on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, that guy's arm was still broken.
Oh, dude, how good is he?
He's the best. He is the best, right?
I say this all the time. That is my guy. That is the style of wrestling. I could watch a Danielson match for like 4 hours. Don't care.
Absolutely.
He is so remarkable. It's unbelievable to me. That is my style of wrestling. And I'm glad that Ricky had that 5-star match with him.
Oh, yeah. I think we both agree about the Danielson thing. I got into a huge fight with my wife, not because of wrestling, but because of something.
Did you hit her in the face with the strap?
No, no, no. All I wanted to do was watch that ad-free Suzuki versus Danielson match on YouTube. Oh. I think it was last year.
Yeah, no, 2 years
ago. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I am withdrawing from this argument. I need to watch this right now.
Yeah, that was fantastic. He's so good. He's so good.
I know.
And listen, Ricky, you know, he gave Ricky a 5-star match with a broken arm. Think of how good that guy is and how, you know, you want to talk about a team player in the clutch. The guy was not not determined to come back at this pay-per-view. And he's like, no, man, you need me. I'm here. Let's do it.
Do you think it's one big locker room or do you think there's a couple of locker rooms?
I think there's a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a couple. So very interesting stuff. So this week they're going up against a marquee match. We'll see what happens there. So the big question is, what is expected going forward from WBD without CM Punk? I could tell you that it has been very quiet. More than usual.
Okay.
But I would say it would be really a benefit if they're able to grab a marquee name that is not in that company.
Edge.
Currently. Listen, man, I don't know whatsoever, okay? I have zero insight on what Edge is thinking or what the contract Goldberg. Situation, but I'm back.
I'm working for Edge, WB Mason.
I'm working for WB Mason? What is he doing, paper?
He doesn't realize it's Warner Brothers Discovery. He's like, it's not WBD, it's WB Mason.
He gets the wrong job. He's a paper delivery boy.
He gets the wrong job. He has to drive that mustachio truck
that
around
mustachio
now.
Mustachio truck around New York. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Nobody knows.
Stupid truck.
I hate that fucking truck, dude. Hate it.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I'm going to glue my feet to it and I'm going to hang on the sides like that guy at the US Open. You saw that bozo?
No, what happened?
Some bozo environmentalist glued his feet to the floor at the U.S. Open and started screaming about, climate change and heard everybody's carbon footprint.
Like his feet? Like his
fossil
feet,
fuels.
Like,
yeah, his feet feet.
His
bare
like his sneakers.
Feet. And he's like, fossil fuels need to stop. And I'm like, you know what they make that glue out of, right? It's made with oil that comes from the ground.
Right.
Bozo. You know what? They should have just left him. They shouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Bound him, just shut his mouth and just let him there. Leave him to the birds. They'll eventually get him.
exactly.
So, I mean, listen, Edge, he's 48 years old. You know, maybe you get a couple great matches. Edge and Omega, you get Edge Danielson again. You could do, you know, these cool matches, but that's about it. Here's another question I had for you, Rich. And this is a question for the live audience. If Punk was brought in as an attraction, right? They said, okay, he's only going to do, he won't be on every pay-per-view. We'll bring him in for a program. He'll go away for a little bit. We'll bring him back again for a program. He'll go away for a little bit. Would that have been a solution to this? Or would we have always ended up here?
You know, I feel like we would have always ended up here, but the timeline wouldn't have been 2 years. It would have been 4 years.
The timeline would have been. Well, his contract would have been over by then. So
yeah. You know, how long was his contract? Just like a year and a half, 2 years?
No, I think it was a long deal. I think it was like a 3-year deal, or I don't think it was a 1-year deal.
If you know, I would say ideally, let's say if the guy was healthy, right? You do a few matches to start, get that ring rust off, and then make it an attraction. Make it like, you know, somebody like Ricky Starks, almost the same thing. Somebody like Ricky Starks comes out and says, is there anybody in the back who could take me on? Hear the music.
Here comes Boom. Punk, yeah.
Big marquee match.
They had that match with Darby, right? He had that match with Kingston, which was great. He had the program with Mox. He was in some really, like, I want to see matches.
Yeah, and
But maybe it was too much too soon.
I think that may have been it. Maybe his eyes were too big for his stomach. MG, can you quickly look up exactly how many matches CM Punk had in AEW? Because I feel like we think it's a lot, but I feel like it's less than 20 in the last 2 years.
Is it less than 20? You know what? That's a great question. Maybe it is.
I feel like it's around like 12 or 13.
You say 12 or 13. Okay, let's do this. Okay, here we
maybe
go.
Maybe 14. I'll be generous. I'll say
14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, okay. 19, 20, 21, okay. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 matches. That's actually, I got to tell you, that's a lot.
In 2 years.
In 2 years with an 8 month absence and a two month and then another break.
Yeah, it was almost a year off. On that one.
I mean, that actually for AEW, that's more than most people wrestle.
Yeah.
If you wrestle every other week, that's 20 something matches.
That's fascinating. Well, he was doing twice a week sometimes, right? He was doing Dynamite
and Rampage.
And Rampage? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, let's look at his matches. You ready? Let's look. Darby Allin. Shoot. And then the second match was Powerhouse Hobbs.
Great.
Okay. Daniel Garcia, Matt Sydal, Bobby Fish, that Bobby Fish match with the with a weird finish. Eddie Kingston, QT Marshall, Lee Moriarty, Cash Wheeler, and Dax and MJF, him, Sting, and Darby. Wardlow.
That was great.
Sean Spears, MJF. He had him and Mox versus Wheeler and Dax. Dog collar match, MJF. Match with Dax. Max Caster. Penta. Him and Penta had a match on Dynamite?
They sure did.
In April? I don't remember that at all. Dustin. He had a match with Dustin. John Silver. Adam Page. Mm-hmm. He had a tag match. He had CMFTR and the Guns and Max Caster. Moxley. He had another Moxley. He came back, his first match back. Him and Dax and Wheeler against Samoa Joe and Juice and Jay. And then, you know, we're here, right? Another tag match. Kojima, Samoa Joe, Ricky Starks. He had a tag match with Darby against Cage and Ricky. He had a match with Ricky. Another tag match against against Malakai, Brody, and Buddy. Another tag match against Brian Cage, Jay White, Luchasaurus, and Swerve, and Samoa Joe. He had some wacky matches.
But at one point, you see, like, after the Kojima match, that's when it gets very curated.
Yeah.
A lot of the same kind of, like, rotation, sort of, you know?
Yeah. Fascinating.
Very fascinating stuff, yeah. But that Meltzer thing also is kind of interesting, too, right?
That people feel that a cloud was lifted.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I listen, man, you've worked with people that are very, you know, they walk into the room, you're like, oh shit, they're here. Yeah. I'm sure that was like that for a lot of people. I'm sure it sat, you know, there was a cloud over that whole All In show. And I think it's so terrible. Like, they were not able to capitalize at all on that.
Yeah. Even though that show, I watched it back again. What a show. I think I watched it twice.
Yeah. I didn't watch that back. I watched All Out twice, and I thought that show was much better. I liked All Out so much better. It was
All Out was very good, too.
Great show.
Two banging shows back-to-back, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got a Grand Slam in a week and a half. I got to get those tickets. I'm going to see.
We got to get them tickets, man. Yeah, we should try to get press passes. MG.
Well, I reached out. I haven't heard back. If somebody at AEW is listening, get back to me, please. General Adnan, Sheikh Adnan Al-Kaisi, passed away at 84 years old. People remember him from his run in WWF as a Iraqi general, and he was with the Iron Sheik, which was Colonel Mustafa at the time, and Sergeant Slaughter at the time when he was an Iraqi sympathizer.
Wild.
I was at that SummerSlam, the match made in heaven and the match made in hell, when napalms turn to nuptials. Why do you say that like that, Vince? Why does he say
that?
Then napalm turns to nuptials with the wedding.
I'll say whatever I want.
I was like, whoa, what is napalm? I didn't know that as a kid.
Okay.
And then Hogan's doing this, and that was awesome. He passed away. He was apparently he was like Saddam Hussein's bodyguard at one point.
Wow.
So. If he was a sheikh from Baghdad and AWA, fascinating career. I mean, we really didn't get too much exposure. He's before our time, but at least we got to see a little bit of him. Fascinating stuff. Gunther has become the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, defeating Chad Gable on Monday Night Raw with a fantastic match. Passes the Honky Tonk Man's record. I think Vince for years wanted that title away from Honky.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have Gunther and then you have Honky Tonk Man right after him.
You know, it'd be funny if they strap Gunther with a Honky Tonk Man style gimmick now.
Do you remember when that guy lost his mind on us on Twitter randomly?
Who, Tonk?
Honky Tonk, yeah.
There was a couple of guys who lost their mind on us for zero reason back in the day. Was he one of them? I don't remember the circumstances.
Honky was one of them. He's like, he started tweeting us randomly. He goes, you boys talk a lot of shit about me. And I'm like, I don't think we've ever mentioned Honky Tonk Man on the show.
No, I don't. Yeah.
And then Taz yelled at us. Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. I think Kevin Nash blocked us early on for something somebody else said.
Somebody else said it. They tagged us in it. I love Kev. Somebody made a quad joke and then we got blocked.
Was it a quad joke or was it like a ravioli joke?
Oh, the ravioli jokes are great though. I could watch him eat ravioli for like 45 minutes.
That's one of my favorite videos.
The greatest shoot interview ever. Him just eating ravioli in some man's kitchen and his wife is bringing him a mundane salad.
I like seeing videos where people look very comfortable. And that guy was eating a lot of ravioli and drinking red wine and answering questions. He looked like he was in heaven. So it was pretty nice.
Yeah. Per the Wrestling Observer newsletter, All In was supposed to air on Max, but the technology was not ready. I reported that how many months ago, guys?
Years ago.
But I will say, Max is doing some tests in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So the problem was, if this show was going to be free, they could have done it on Max. But why would you give the show away for free?
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid. Why would you give away millions of dollars away for free? They didn't have ads sold for it to generate the revenue. That takes a lot of time to put that in. Maybe there wasn't enough ads in the inventory to allocate over. But, I mean, Max does have the technology to live stream right now.
They do.
But the problem is the pay-per-view feature. And this, where I know that they're working at for this. It's not just for AEW, though. This is not going to be just an AEW feature. So if they could move all those things from Max, from BR, I don't know. Is there anything else on BR at this point?
No. There's a lot of shit on BR. There's a lot of stuff on BR, my friend.
This website is terrible.
I downloaded BR on Apple TV the other day, and all it showed me was AEW.
So it's coming. We just got to wait. You know, these things take a while. It's out of their hands. Development, co-development on something like this is not an overnight thing.
No, so, not at all.
Especially during a merger when priorities shift, you know, you're determining what's your priority here. And I think a lot of that was affected here, too. So we'll see what happens. WWE's looking to re-sign LA Knight to a long-term contract. Per Fightful, he's expected to get a mega push.
Great.
Yeah, man. He's over.
He is over. People love him. Kids love him. Men and women love him. How do you feel about his yeah catchphrase?
I don't mind it, but I think it's a little much now.
It's like he's saying it too much?
It's just too much. Too much, yeah.
Too much, yeah. So what does he do? Does he go... He, in terms of that big push, right? What are we looking at? Dethroning Gunther, Seth. I know he's on a different show.
I think you hit the nail. I think getting the secondary title and making that his thing for a little bit and then having him challenge for maybe Seth's belt. You know, he's not beating Roman. Sure. Unless, never say never, right? This guy could get really hot. He could get Austin hot and he could go after, I mean, what happens then? You know, this is a nice little monkey wrench in that WWE side of baby faces.
I do feel like if they ended up doing the Roman thing for some reason, I feel like the lines would get even more blurred to the Austin thing. And I don't know if people would eat it up or if they would just say, hey, this is kind of like hack.
I don't know. I think his Austin stuff is, you know, for me, I feel warmth because it's a little nostalgic. It's nostalgic enough.
Yeah.
Like his whole entire spiel, that's how like a wrestler is. So I like it. I'm going to tell you, man, teenage kids love them. Boys love them. They like the whole shtick, and this is what got Austin over. So I think they have something. You know, even like the Ken Kennedy comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how hot he got?
Oh, my God.
I used to love him.
I You know, that was the point that I wasn't as invested with wrestling. So it didn't, I didn't see it as much as other people, but he was on fire for a period of time.
Can I tell a quick stupid story?
Yeah, give me.
When my buddy came over, we used to watch wrestling all the time together. And when Kennedy debuted, he thought his, he was like, what was that guy's name? Mr. Sodomy?
Mr. Like, Sodomy. No.
So now, so like every time he saw him, he would do the thing like, Mr. Sodomy, take a beat. Sodomy. And it was pretty funny. But see, Jonathan laughed. Look at that. That guy loves
Of course
sodomy.
He did.
No.
Of course he laughed. Of course he laughed at that.
Of course he laughed.
Yeah. He's very interested in my meeting yesterday. I had a meeting with somebody.
Oh, is this
artwork too?
Yeah, he's very invested in my
meeting. For the new
show? Yeah, I'm working on something with Lisa Ann.
Are you going to take us to that thing you're doing?
I'll take you to the thing I'm doing.
Yeah, take me to the thing.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Beautiful.
Yeah. 2 weeks. So we'll I'll talk about it once it's all settled. So, I mean, listen, awesome. it's you know, things are happening. WWE's merger is expected to be official this coming Tuesday. What changes could you expect immediately? Do we get the Undertaker in the UFC game?
Oh boy, that would be pretty effing cool. Awesome. I think you could throw Taker in there. Ken Shamrock, you know,
like, that's some of the rumors. That's some of the rumors that they might be doing that because the new UFC game is coming out.
Do it. Why not? If you could put Freddy Krueger in Mortal Kombat, you can put the Undertaker in a UFC game.
Yeah, why not? The universes are merged. It's like Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to see the wacky stuff. You don't want to see, like, Kane? Kane versus Conor McGregor in the UFC? You don't want to see that?
I would love to see that, yeah.
I do think we'll get some crossover here. You know, I think we'll get a little bit. But, you know, like, I was thinking this, right? When these contracts run up, like MJF, for example, right? WWE is going to be a very different company in about 12 months. Yes. 18 months, very different company. Not only do they have the reach of Endeavor, William Morris Agency, WMEA, right? Isn't William Morris part of Endeavor?
Yes, it is. It's the it's the management wing.
Yeah. If you're MJF and you're like, listen, I want to do a multitude of things, isn't the smart bet to go there? Like The Miz is a great example of benefiting from this. He's going to benefit from the William Morris connection. It's going to be very interesting the next year. Very interesting. But this merger's fascinating. You think we're going to get crossover stuff or no?
On TV? Yeah. You know what? Yes. I think we will. I think the Logan Paul thing was not that he has anything to do with UFC, but I feel like as far as crossover stuff, I think that was the first thing we got, right? Whatever event that was where you had Logan Paul and his boy dressed like his energy drink, right?
Yeah.
KSI.
And then KSI. Yeah. And then you had, I think, on the same night, Rey Mysterio, and there was like a guy dressed like a Dorito or some shit. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
There was like a bag of Doritos. I think if you can do that and people didn't mind it too much, you're going to get a lot more weird crossover stuff in the next 2 years.
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of the USC fans don't want it, but we'll see what happens.
Everybody loves
the multiverse. Let me ask you this, Vander.
Yeah.
What do you think about... employee as far as cuts, you think there'll be a lot of cuts as far as office cuts?
Yeah,
I think he's asking about himself.
Yeah. Redundant positions are going to get cut.
Okay.
I think that was a personal question.
a couple other things. IGM Academy also has a partnership with Endeavor, so they're like a feeding system for a lot of these professional sports leagues as far as NFL and NBA and stuff. So you're going to get a lot of athletes with first eyes looking and stuff like that as well. So
interesting stuff. AW Rampage tonight, Penta versus Jay Lethal in the Grand Slam World Title Eliminator qualifier quarterfinal. Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy in the Grand Slam Eliminator.
I'm excited about that.
Versus Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. Wow, this is a packed Rampage. Collision.
Good Rampage,
yeah. Yeah, that's a nice Rampage. Collision. Roderick Strong versus Darby Allin in Grand Slam Eliminator. We hear from Bryan Danielson. Penta and Jay Lethal versus Samoa Joe and Jeff Hardy. What in the Grand Slam? What is this?
It's either or. It's either Penta or Joe or Hardy.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. All right. And we'll hear from Saraya and Ruby Soho. Bullet Club Gold is in action as well. And we'll hear from the AEW Trios champions. Dynamite for 9/13 Grand Slam title eliminator finals. Britt Baker, Toni Storm, Sheeta, and Nyla Rose, with the winner facing Saraya at Grand Slam. Hangman Page and Brian Cage and Don Callis reveals his next masterpiece.
Very excited about that. I think looking at the ticket sales, Grand Slam, there's plenty of seats left. I think it's going to be a really good show, and I feel like the 9/13 episode it's got to be Joe versus Danielson, right? In that final.
Danielson's not in it.
Danielson's not in the...
No.
Sure about that?
I'm positive.
No.
He's not in the tournament?
No.
No.
Huh.
Neither is Hangman.
Samoa Joe's the highlight there.
Yeah, so. Samoa Joe's the highlight, but I don't think he's going to win. I think Roddy's going to win this.
Yeah, it's going to come down to those two because they're the story they're telling.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think Roddy will win this, and then it'll cause, you know, whatever that pay-per-view is, it'll be Joe and Max.
Okay.
Because that's a good pay-per-view match. Guys, let's do our Q&As before I
Real
get
quick,
to get out of
you
here.
Wanna, yeah. Go you want to just take spend a couple seconds on Dynamite and specifically the big segment that everyone was talking about this week was Toni Storm.
Oh, two segments. That? I want to talk about this. Yeah, I thought there was some changes to the show. I know that Toni had some extra help with doing some segments here. And one of those segments, I will say that was great, was the Hangman Page segment with Swerve.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I loved everything about that. The promos were great. I thought Swerve looked like $1 million. I would say that, you know, that's going to be a fun program. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff was good, he said. You know, he's like, listen, you've gotten a little fat. You know, now you're just getting deals because you were here before while I've had to fight for everything. If I had the opportunities you've had, I would have been the first black AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
That was a great line.
Great line. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I thought he was great. Very good stuff. And then talk about your segment that you loved, the Toni Storm stuff.
Oh, the chin up, tits out.
Chin up, tits out, and watch out for the shoe. And then the shoe goes. Yeah.
Oh, that she's someone put a montage together of all the time she's done it now. She's getting this over, and it's really, really. She's the new star of the women's division for sure.
Love it.
It's interesting. It's interesting. She's doing like this Sunset Boulevard type gimmick. You know.
Yeah. Everything's like a performance now, and she's losing herself in it. It's
very interesting.
I mean, and then, you know, her original gimmick, it was that she was a cute, sporty girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That loved 80s music, you know, and she came out to the original AEW theme was based on Barracuda by Heart, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was, I mean, she's always been great. I've always really enjoyed her. Even on the indie, she was fantastic. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there with her, and I'm glad that she's able to kind of experiment and do some different stuff.
It sort of reminds me what they did with Britt Baker when she first came up and she started working with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
And their chemistry just got her over, and now she's similar with what she's doing with Renee. It's like great.
Yeah, it's been really good. Really, really good stuff. Let's do Q&As. Ask your questions, submit them in the chat, and we will do our best to answer them. Oh, and also Braun Breaker killed Von Wagner on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
I love the black shot when they went black.
Yeah.
And then people were showing it online from the alternative angle. And he did hit him. He did him. So.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
We're going to do some questions. Andrew's got to get out of here early, so we're going to start questions a little early. Super chat is if you want or not, whatever. I'm not your dad. This is from Glassdoor Gamer. Who do you strap first, Starks or Swerve?
I'm going to go with Swerve, man.
I'm going to go Swerve also. Yeah. I think they've been leading up to him with a big belt since his debut. The dude's money.
The dude is money. Yeah. I think he's, you know, and he's put on some size too, dude. Swerve has put on some size. So I think he's getting ready for, a lot of people there realize how good he is. Not taken away from Ricky, but Swerve, I think I would put it on Swerve first.
He's one of those interesting guys that came over from WWE and is making such an impact, and it works, you know, like whatever they strapped him with on SmackDown wasn't working. You know, this is working.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely works.
This is from Christopher Dunn, $1. And if Punk does another Art of Wrestling style podcast, but about AEW, who would do it with him? I don't even think Cornette would want to risk ending up in court.
I think there are many people that would want to do that sit down.
Doesn't Dax have a podcast?
Not anymore.
No, they ended it.
What? After what? Like 3 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't very long. It was a few episodes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I would say like somebody like Dax, you know, maybe if Bret Hart has a podcast.
I could see someone like Nick Hausman pulling that.
I don't know. I don't know what that gag order is. I don't know what, you know, if they're going to issue a gag order, this is going to become a legal problem. I don't know how many NDAs were signed. I don't think we'll get an Art of Wrestling style podcast about this. Yeah. Maybe in a couple of years, we'll get one of those wacky shoot interviews.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Or it's going to be tight-lipped, or he's just going to say something in an interview somewhere. It doesn't have to be a podcast or a shoot thing. It could just be like some kind of interview where he's like, yeah, this is what happened, you know, F it. Whatever. Yeah. Or he could carny it, put it behind a paywall, and then like make some real bank, you know?
I think he would make some money.
Yeah. This is from Good Doer 627. Do you think... Hang on 1 second. I lost it here. Do you think Joe versus MJF will last till Full Gear with 2 big shows in between Grand Slam and Wrestle Dream?
I don't know if it's going to be at Full Gear. I don't think it's at Grand Slam. I think Wrestle Dream is more realistic. But I don't know. We'll see. Either Wrestle Dream or Full Gear.
Okay. Let's see. Here. It's from Brian Knight. 1 year from now, CM Punk will be in WWE and Impact, the newest member of the Mat Men, or retired.
1 year from now. I don't know why everybody thinks Impact. I mean, they can't afford him unless he wants to work for free. Does that guy want to work for free and possibly get injured and then have to, you know, like I think WWE is the most realistic outside of retiring.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Unless he does Japan.
But he never really did Japan. He wasn't a Japan guy.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, can you go to Japan and have a one-off? Yeah, I'm sure he can, but.
That'd be cool.
I know that plenty of people are not high on Punk, but you know, there's also the enemy of my enemy that's willing to pay me is now my friend. if they want to pay him and he comes in and does something really cool, you know, what if he shows up at a Rumble and he does a WrestleMania program? What does that mean? I think that's a tremendous hit to AEW.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's just another hit at them. So I don't know. I don't know if that's enough for WWE to be like, yeah, I wanna bring this guy in here with all these issues that we have with him, but in return we're hurting our competition.
Well, is that still the mindset, you know, because like okay, here's a question for you. If you were Triple H, right?
Yeah,
would you have any interest in this guy right now with the current roster and storylines that have been building for the past like 3 or 4 years?
Okay, so I don't know if I'm Triple H, but if I'm Nick Khan, right? Or I'm on the corporate side, I'm going to look at, okay, so yeah, we're doing great in TV. Our house shows are doing good. AEW is not doing good with house shows, but there's also other elements like merch, right? Every shirt you buy for CM Punk is a shirt that you're not buying for WWE. Every ticket that AEW sells, whether it's 3,000 or 10,000 or 5,000, that's taking away money from your wallet that you possibly could have put into WWE if they were in your market. So if there's anything you could do to hurt their bottom line financially, you kind of want to do it. And CM Punk is a merch leader. He sells toys. He sells merch.
Oh, yeah.
He brings eyeballs to TV. That creates sales, ad sales. So I don't know if they have analyzed the metrics enough to say, wow, you know what? This guy could generate us, I'm throwing a number, $15 million extra a year. Mm-hmm. And all we got to do is pay him, you know, $3 million, and he's going to have four matches for us.
Right, right, right.
Is that a risk that you want to take? I don't know.
You know, it's interesting because when you mentioned that, they could work around this guy because WWE is such a machine. And I think there's an argument for, like, you know, a lot of people have been saying, and, you know, you want to agree with it, that, like, sometimes maybe the management in AEW needs a little tweaking, right? I think WWE has very good management, you know? So you could sequester this guy away from everybody, and it wouldn't make a difference, you know? Keep him happy, sign him to a deal, number 30 in the Royal Rumble, wins the Rumble, and goes on to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. You know, something like that, I think, would pop everybody on the planet.
I think so. I think it'd be tremendous.
Here's one from a friend of the show, Shin. Now that Baron Corbin has retired Kurt Angle and possibly retired Gable Steveson, should Chad Gable be worried?
He's retiring. He's retiring all the wrestlers.
He's retiring all the wrestlers.
All the Olympic wrestlers.
Sure. All the Olympic wrestlers. Sure. I think he should be very concerned with Baron Corbin. He's a menace. To Olympic level wrestlers.
Let's see. Any takes from network connections at Fox or NBC Universal on the Punk situation?
Zero. I know Fox was more for it than the NBC side. I would say what I have seen with CM Punk over the last 2 years from both sides have been negative, okay? But that's only because he was competing against them in a, you know, in a weird way. I haven't seen anything positive like this is our chance. Like, when Cody was up, right, when the opportunity of Cody came, like, I firsthand saw the chatter, and it was everybody was very excited for this. I've never seen that with him.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
This is from Pro Wrestling Joe. Meltzer said the plan was for All In to be on Max, but the technology wasn't ready in time. We talked about that. Do you think it will be ready next year?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Let's do one more, and I got to get out of here.
All right.
Yeah. I think by next year, I'm almost certain.
Do you want to do a personal question, or do you want to do a wrestling question?
One of each. Quick.
Okay. We'll do quick. When did you all move? This is from Lo-Fi Lit. When did y'all meet each other? Was it just for the show, or did y'all accidentally bump into each other on the street, look into each other's eyes, and became besties for life?
1997.
1994.
1994. We met in 1997. And then that was it. And then we were friends for a couple of years, and we didn't speak for a couple of years. Not just life got busy, and then we met up again, and that was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It. Super easy.
Super easy. Let's see.
Let's have me and MGP good one. Friends.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do one more.
Each other's eyes. All right, let's see here. Okay, this is a good one. Since it's September, Brian Knight, # Ask Matt Men. Who is your wrestler of the year so far?
Brian Danielson.
Agreed. It's Danielson. What a guy. What a trooper.
What a guy.
What a needle mover. Mm-hmm. Right up there, Mox, Roman, you know?
Mox, Roman, yeah. Yeah,
Seth also, you know, Gunter's in the conversation. There's a lot, you know, like Kenny always is in like the top 10, but yeah, Danielson, right?
Danielson, for sure. Cool. Everything he does is fantastic.
I thought you'd say Jeff Jarrett.
Double J, you're not great.
Double J. All right. Wanna wrap it up?
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. Guys, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday with Wrestling Observer Live and everything else I'm doing. Follow me on Twitter @AndrewZarian. Follow Rich, BTC Rich, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.